I'm Melanie Phillips, and this is Teach Me to Walk in the Light, Episode 11, Take My Yoke Upon You. This podcast is for people who want to learn how to effectively teach, persuade, and lead those within their reach to walk in the light of Christ. I am your host, Melanie Phillips. Welcome to another episode of the Teach Me to Walk in the Light podcast, helping you teach more effectively at home and in your calling. In each episode, I teach a new gospel principle and share with you how you can apply it to your life and how to teach it to your family and family home evening. The gospel principles I cover coincide with a principle taught in the Come Follow Me reading assignment for the upcoming week. I also share a new teaching tip and end with a hashtag, take time for family, activity suggestion, or a dinner conversation starter. Thanks to everyone who listens, and especially those who take the time to leave me a review. I sure appreciate it. Shout out to Trying to Be Better, who left me a review that said, I started listening to this podcast and love it. I love the self-helps, ideas for your family and teaching. Thanks for your time in making us better. I also love the Come Follow Me family home evening. Thank you so much, Trying to Be Better. I sure appreciate that. And thanks to everyone who has left a review. Today's topic is Taking My Yoke Upon You. It's one of the principles discussed in Come Follow Me for March 11th through the 17th. In a BYU devotional entitled, Are You All the Way In? By Carolyn Billings, she said, quote, When I was about 4 years old, I fell out of my bed. My father heard me crying and came into my room to check on me. As he helped me get back into my bed, he asked, with all the compassion of a loving father, why I had fallen out of bed. He always loved to tell me how I had looked up at him and said, with the eye roll of a rational 4-year-old, obviously, I wasn't in far enough. As a result, that statement became the question that my father would ask me every time I encountered a struggle, a trial, or difficult problem. To this day, I continue to ask myself, am I in far enough? Unquote. Perhaps that's a question we should each ask ourselves. Are we in far enough? When trials and tribulations hit, do we stand strong and immovable, or are we teetering and questioning? You know, we are told in the Book of Mormon that the Nephites were taught the scriptures and how they believed in the story of Moses and how God parted the Red Sea. But then in 1 Nephi, when Nephi and his brothers are trying to get the plates from Laban, after 2 failed attempts, Laman and Lemuel began to question. Says 1 Nephi 3:31, How is it possible that the Lord will deliver Laban into our hands? Behold, he is a mighty man, and he can command 50, yea, even he can slay 50. Then why not us? Now, are we ever like that? Are we ever like Laman and Lemuel? Laman and Lemuel who didn't have a problem believing that God could part the Red Sea for Moses, but who couldn't believe that God was powerful enough to help them get the plates from mighty Laban. To be all the way in is trusting that God's help, that very same help that was given to Moses and Noah, and that was the power behind all of the amazing miracles in the scriptures, is the very same help that is available to you right now. One of my favorite songs is by Christian singer and songwriter Lauren Daigle called Trust in You, and I'll link to it in the show notes. But part of the song goes like this. Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I try to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what I face, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. Truth is, you know what tomorrow brings. There's not a day ahead you have not seen. So let all things be my life and breath. I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less. That is being all in. Trusting that even though you don't have all the answers and the Lord isn't moving the mountain that you're needing him to move, or when he doesn't part the water, you still trust in him. Trusting and knowing that he will never leave you alone and that he is mindful of what you are going through. Now, I also love how the song says, I confess my hands are weary, I need your rest. Aren't we all weary as we struggle through this mortal life? And we can receive help and rest from on high if we but first humble ourselves and admit that we cannot do it alone. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. In another BYU devotional by Sterling C. Hilton, entitled His Burden is Light, he pointed out a few things about these scripture verses that I want to share with you. One of them being that this promise that Christ gives to each of us is an invitation. The invitation being, come unto me, and I will do this for you. I will help you. But it has to be up to us. I mean, the Lord will not force us, because if you recall, that was Satan's plan. We fought for our free agency, and this indicates an acknowledgement and a respect for that agency. He will never force us. But that doesn't mean he is not waiting and willing to freely pour out blessings upon us, because he is. He loves us. He wants to help us and bless us. And his promise is a simple promise of rest. Christ promises that we don't have to feel that heavy weight of guilt and separation from God when it comes to being labored under sin. We also don't have to feel the full weight of the world upon our shoulders. We don't have to bear this mortal experience alone. We all know what a yoke is. A yoke being the wooden beam used to pair up oxen or other animals together to enable them to pull a heavy load. And it allows the strength of one animal to be linked with another animal. The result being that two animals sharing the load reduces the heavy labor to where the burden isn't so overwhelming or perhaps even impossible for just one to bear, but can easily and comfortably be borne by the two animals bound together with a common yoke. Now, when we are teamed up with Christ, we are now carrying his yoke, or in other words, we are taking upon us the load that is attached to him. Now, don't think that teaming up with Christ will give you a get out of jail free card when it comes to trials and tribulations. Because as Jeffrey R. Holland once said, quote, salvation is not a cheap experience, unquote. We still have to do our part, and we still have to face trials so that we can be tested and tried and become more like our Savior. But when we are yoked with our Savior, it is the Savior saying, here, let me help you carry the load. He gives us the help and relief we so desperately need so that we are not weighed down. He lifts us up. He helps us carry the load that we are called to bear. I'm reminded of the scripture story found in Mosiah when Alma and his followers were under bondage to Amulon. And great were their afflictions that they began to cry mightily to God. Now, Amulon didn't want them praying, so he said anyone who prays would be put to death. So what did Alma and his people do? They started to pour out their hearts to the Lord, and the Lord knew the thoughts of their hearts. And we can read in Mosiah 24, 13 through 15. And it came to pass that the voice of the Lord came to them in their affliction, saying, Lift up your heads and be of good cheer, for I know of the covenant which ye have made unto me, and I will covenant with my people and deliver them out of bondage. And I will also ease the burdens which are put upon your shoulders, that even you cannot feel them upon your backs, even while you are in bondage. And this will I do, that ye may stand as witnesses for me hereafter, and that ye may know of a surety that I, the Lord God, do visit my people in their afflictions. And now it came to pass that the burdens which were laid upon Alma and his brethren were made light. Yea, the Lord did strengthen them, that they could bear up their burdens with ease, and they did submit cheerfully with a patience to all the will of the Lord. Now, just as their burdens were made light, so will ours when we take upon the yoke of Christ. Now, notice they still had to go through their trial, but the trial now became bearable. Not only bearable, it says they were cheerful and had patience to all the will of the Lord. Who doesn't want that in the middle of a trial? You know, there was a time when my husband's contract at work was up, and it was looking like it was not going to be renewed. And we kind of had this feeling almost a year before his contract was up. So my husband had already been applying for job after job, going to interview after interview, but nothing was panning out, and we weren't quite sure why. And I remember it was just weeks before his contract was up, and someone was asking me about my husband's job, and I really was quite calm in explaining to them what was going on, and that, you know, I knew that no matter what, it was going to be okay. Something was going to work out. And they commented how impressed they were with my calmness and how, you know, if it was happening to them, they'd probably be stressing out. And up until that point, I hadn't really thought about the calmness and peace I had been feeling over the whole situation until they had said something to me. And it made me stop and express my complete gratitude to my Father in heaven for lifting this burden from my shoulders and giving me the peace and surety that I needed at that time. And my husband did start a new job just 1 week before his contract was up, and everything worked out perfectly. I know that burden was lifted because we were doing all that we could to follow the Savior, and we trusted him. The Lord had been there in our time of need, and we knew he would be there again. I also want you to notice that verse 29 of Matthew 11, where it says, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." Christ is telling us quite plainly that we will be learning. And also, he reminds us of something that he said in John 5:30, that "I seek not mine own will, but the will of my Father which hath sent me." Christ's path is a path of meekness and submission, and we too must learn to submit our wills to the will of the Father's. To take Christ's yoke upon us, we must simply follow Christ. Following him includes obedience to God's commandments. And of course, Christ was the perfect example of obedience. His perfect obedience to God's commandments illustrates not only a perfect love for our Father, but also a perfect submission to his will. You know, sometimes we miss the fact that, yes, Christ had his own will. And we can see Christ's will when he obeyed the Father's commandment to bring about the atonement. We see it in the words Christ prayed in Luke 22:42. "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Here we closely see Christ's will, which is separate from the Father's. We also clearly see his perfect and complete submission. He accepted his burden. He accepted his suffering. And even when the Father withdrew his spirit and left Christ alone, Christ still committed himself to God's will to bring about the atonement. The Father did send an angel from heaven to strengthen him, and I believe it was because of Christ's complete yielding to the Father's will that allowed the Father to send his heavenly support. Are we not blessed when we follow the commandments of God? Are we not promised help when we follow his commandments? President Monson often taught the blessings associated with keeping the commandments of the Lord. He said, quote, "When we keep the commandments, our lives will be happier, more fulfilling, and less complicated. Our challenges and problems will be easier to bear, and we will receive God's promised blessings," unquote. He also said, quote, "The knowledge which we seek, the answers for which we yearn, and the strength which we desire today to meet the challenges of a complex and changing world can be ours when we willingly obey the Lord's commandments," unquote. There is no getting out of trials and tribulations, but let us realize they are not to punish us, but to allow us the opportunity to choose Christ. To not only choose Christ, but to grow closer to Christ and become more like him. As Brother Hilton points out that in D&C 101 verse 4, we are told that we must needs be chastened and tried even as Abraham. Now, no, that does not mean we will be commanded to sacrifice our only son, but it does mean we will be tried as Abraham was, pushed beyond our limits in order to expand those limits. Brother Hilton also said, quote, "The purpose of our tribulation is not to experience crushing, hopeless despair. Remaining steadfast in Christ through our afflictions and adversity increases our capacity to see our promised end more clearly. Like a powerful spotlight that shines more brightly in complete darkness, our suffering reveals Christ to us. We see his promise of salvation, resurrection, and eternal life more clearly in our mind's eye, and we look forward with a bright hope to that perfect day, seeing it afar off, but knowing that it lies ahead," unquote. I hope that each of us, no matter what comes our way, will stay far enough in the gospel that we will stand strong and immovable, fully committed and seeking God's will. As we do, we will be yoked with Christ and he will make our burdens light. As the scripture says in Isaiah 40:31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." All right, on to the Family Home Evening Suggestion. First, let me remind you, if you haven't already, you can go to today's show notes and sign up for my Teach Me Family Home Evening email group, where I send you an easy-to-use Family Home Evening outline each week that goes along with the podcast, making Family Home Evening preparation as simple as possible for you. Simply go to www.melanieslibrary.com/teachme11 to sign up. Okay, so for the opening song, you could do Nephi's Courage, or you could do Come Follow Me. And to switch things up a bit, I'm going to first suggest starting out with a fun activity. Have you ever watched the TV game show Chain Reaction? It's one of my favorites, and this is similar to it, where you start with one word, such as like monkey, and you try to figure out how it can, through a series of words, get you to a word such as reaction. And you're basically coming up with two word phrases that connect to each other. So for example, a chain reaction could be monkey, which could then lead you to the word business, monkey business. Then business could lead you to class for business class. Class leads you to room, room leads you to key leads you to chain, and chain leads you to reaction. I have a printable for you in my show notes of several chain reactions. And for Family Home Evening, you'll play it a little different than they play it on the game show. But first, print out the printable and cut them up into word strips, and then put each chain reaction in a separate envelope. So you have one complete chain, or a total of 7 words in each envelope. And you can play this 2 different ways. One is give everyone an envelope and see how fast each person can put their chain reaction together. That's a quick way of doing it. Or two, divide up into two teams, make two copies of each chain reaction, and have one person from each team compete against another person from the other team and see who can put the same chain reaction together first. And whoever is first, their team gets a point, and so forth. Now, there's probably other ways you can play this also, so just have fun with it. But then, when it's all done, you can start the lesson by saying this. In life, we are given a lot of trials or tests. The question we are faced with on a daily basis is, how will we react? As with this game, one word leads to another. As in life, our choices and actions lead from one to another. Where will your choices lead you? Hopefully, your goal is that they will lead you to the celestial kingdom. And then tell the story that Carolyn Billings told of falling out of bed and how her father later in life, whenever she was faced with a difficult trial, would always ask her if she was in far enough. And then to ensure that we are far enough in, that our actions will lead us back to our Father in heaven, we must take Christ's yoke upon us. And then you can show the picture of the yoke that's actually found in the Come Follow Me manual for individuals and families on page 45. Explain what a yoke is, and then explain how when we take Christ's yoke upon us, we are simply following him and keeping the commandments. And in return, Christ will make our burdens light. And then for an object lesson, have a strong member of the family hold his or her arm straight out, lock the elbow, and place a weight, like a really large book, on their hand. And ask this person how long he or she might be able to hold up the weight. While he or she is holding up the weight, have another family member read Matthew 11, 28 through 30, and then ask, how can Jesus give us rest from our burdens? And then invite another member of the family to stand near the one holding the weight. If they're taller, you may have to have them get on their knees. But allow the one with the weight to rest their hand, the one with the burden, on the other family member's shoulder. Ask the person holding the burden how long he or she could carry the weight now. Then let them sit down and ask, how was the heavy burden made light? Then this could lead to a great discussion, and some questions you could ask is like, is following Christ always easy? What are some things we are asked to do to follow Christ, or in other words, to take his yoke upon us? And some answers could include church calling, service, ministering to others, family scripture study, family home evening, prayer, Sabbath day observance, word of wisdom, tithing, honesty, and so forth. And then you could ask, why are these burdens not always easy to bear? Why does Jesus want us to bear these burdens? Of course, to help us to grow and bring us happiness. And you can ask, what are some burdens Satan wants us to bear? You can list things like addiction, grudges, dishonesty, pride, or guilt. And then ask, why does Satan want us to bear these burdens? And it's, of course, to bring us misery, to stop our progression, to damn us. And then ask, in what ways are the Lord's burdens much lighter in comparison to Satan's burdens? And bear testimony how, you know, we all carry burdens, and some do result from our own sins and mistakes, yet some are caused by the choices of others, and some are nobody's fault at all, but simply just a part of life. And regardless of the reasons of our struggles, Jesus pleads with us to come unto him so he can help us bear our burdens and find relief. And then for a closing song, you can do I Will Follow God's Plan or How Gentle God's Commands. All right, on to a teaching tip. Now, if you remember last week, I shared with you 8 examples on how your family can be member missionaries. And I hope you found one of them helpful and perhaps discuss some of them with your family. And I didn't give you the whole list last week because I didn't want to overwhelm you, but to help you realize there are some simple things you can do as a family to help further the work, or in other words, to help in the gathering of Israel. And today I want to finish that list with you and share with you 8 more. You could, one, when neighbors are ill or hospitalized, ask if they'd like a blessing. Many people will accept this thinking, you know, it can't hurt, it might help. And then hopefully they will feel the spirit as the blessing is given. Two, sponsor a community family fair with speakers about marriage, parenting, and the importance of family. Have classes about how to help kids get good grades, how to enrich your marriage, how to have family counsel, the best way to give allowance to kids, how to manage cell phone and computer use, how to deal with aging parents, and how to hold family home evening, even if you're not a member of the church. Three, take primary kids to sing songs at a rest home. Four, look for people who are alone for Thanksgiving and invite them to join in your family's feast. Five, be a good neighbor. Help with babysitting or watering plants and feed pets when neighbors travel. Six, invite a non-member family over for dinner or a dessert night or board games or family home evening. Seven, do you know non-members who like to sing? Invite them to join the ward choir. And eight, share a favorite scripture, quote, or church video on social media. And let us not forget, here's your bonus tip here, to just be a friend. Everyone in this world could use a true and faithful friend they can trust and lean on when life gets hard. Be that friend regardless of whether they join the church or not. Last but not least, hashtag take time for family. The two most important ways to build family relationships is through one, spending time together, and two, conversation. Now, when was the last time you helped your children create a fort in your living room out of blankets or cardboard boxes? You know, the art of building a fort is pretty simple. Basically, just leave it up to your kids' imaginations. All you have to do is supply some pillows, sheets, a few lightweight blankets, a few boxes if you have any, and maybe some clothespins. And then let them take charge and tell you what to do. Your kids will think you're awesome, and you will make some fun memories. Inside the fort, you can play a board game, watch TV, or do it at night and turn off all the lights and just have a flashlight on inside the fort. Have fun with it. And don't forget to take some pictures and use the hashtag TakeTimeForFamily and post them on your favorite social media sites. Let's show the world how important it is that we take time for those who matter the most to us. If you have any fun family activities or dinner conversation starters that you'd like to share, I'd love to hear them. Simply email me at melanie@melanieslibrary.com. Well, that is all for today. Thank you for listening. And if you've enjoyed this podcast and found it helpful, please tell your friends. Also, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And I'd love it if you'd leave me a review. Have yourself a great rest of the week. Talk to you soon. Want more teaching helps and gospel-related resources? Be sure and go to Melanie's Library at www.melanieslibrary.com. This is also where you can find the show notes for all the Teach Me to Walk in the Light podcast episodes. And while you're there, make sure you sign up for my monthly Finding Joy newsletter that is always packed full of great resources and delivered right to your inbox. Everything you need to be the most effective teacher you can be at home and in your calling. Once again, thanks for listening.